This meeting is now being recorded.
Welcome to IDN Guidelines Working Group call. It's 2nd of March 2017. We have Mats, Dennis, Satish, Sarman on the call. Over to you, Mats.
Thank you. Yes, you have opened the guidelines document here, and let's start to go through the remaining parts. I have looked through it. My first question is actually in final there. Is this the final draft version? So is that the usual way it's tagged somewhat?
The reason I was calling it final draft was because it's going into public comment. So it's final. The one which comes after public comment is actually the final version, not the final draft.
Okay. So so if we then find out that we want a second public comment, then it would be a second final draft.
I guess, but I'm happy to call it something else. It's, you know, it's not something which is, I didn't want to call it an interim draft because that sort of shows that the work is still ongoing. I think that's where I'm coming from. But if final seems too deterministic, maybe we can call it public comment draft or something like that. Yeah, so Satish is a final draft for public comments.
Yeah, I think that would be better. I think that Satish's suggestion is good. So we kind of mark that this is the final draft for the public comment, and maybe not necessarily the final draft.
Okay.
I think that's fine.
Okay.
And then there's a comment on I had some comments here too. There's a question on CLD. Okay, you have removed the comments here.
Well, Dennis, there was one comment on the first line on internet domains, which I had asked whether we should call it top TLDs, and Dennis said that, you know, that's already taken care of in the next paragraph, so since I had initiated that comment, I just removed it. So
I think on the second
what Dennis said.
Yeah. Right. The main audience for this document is top-level domains, and then for other registries, it sounds a bit awkward, but maybe it could pass. So, or we should say that the main audience is for this document is generic top level domains, domain registries. But maybe this could pass. Maybe this is not that important. So let's go down. There's some
more. Dennis has a question, Mats.
Yes. Dennis? I don't see Dennis.
Oh, sorry, I think that was she's dropped off, so he's back again.
Dennis, do you want to speak?
No, I think the notification was to just saying that Dennis is trying to get back in. It wasn't a question. Sorry. Please go ahead, Max.
Okay. Yeah. So,
sorry, could we scroll back up? I wanted to ask whether the suggestion I made in this comment is okay. Changing valuable to intended.
I think that's fine.
Okay.
Anyone else? Okay, if we go down to number two, we list the number of RFCs. There's a 5895 too that could be included in that list. It's kind of in the same series.
Right. I've actually seen both versions where IDNA 2008 refers to everything till 5894. I've also seen a version which includes 5895. 5895 is more informational, whereas these are standard track, from what I remember. I'm happy to include that if you'd like.
I think the 94 is informational too, isn't it? So 5894 is informational too. So that is not the difference.
Right. Okay.
So
up to you. Just let me know. Either way, it should be okay, I guess.
I think we should include 5895. It contains some good comments.
Okay.
Then I had a more linguistic or language question on number two. Is must there? Are no coin points must be accepted? Is that correct English? To start with a negative? Is it correct? Dennis?
Yeah, thank you, Matt. So before adding 5895, because I'm not familiar with it, and I mean, I'm honestly, I didn't know of the existence of 5895 until today. Before adding it, I don't know, Matt, looks like you are familiar with it, and maybe you can give us a quick overview of the information RFC, but without adding it, I would like to review it first. I mean, even in the abstract, it refers to IDNA 2008 protocol as RFCs 5890 through 5893. So the core protocol is those four RFCs, and maybe what we want to do is keep them in the core RFCs, the standard track RFCs, and remove all the information also. So maybe what we need to do is not add another informational one, but remove the 5894 as well, and maybe put 94 and 95 in a different section of as resources or other material for the reader to understand full scope of IDNA.
I haven't read 95 that thoroughly, so I can make brief summary of it. I don't think it's very important, and so I think that it could make sense only to have 90 to 93 because those are the standard track documents. We could keep it as this too. Should we remove 94 and only have the ones that really define it, and then we can see if we get any comment on more RFCs, and then we could add. I don't think we should add a new section right now. Either we have this list of RFCs. So I suggest that we remove 94 and only have the strict ones. Is that fine? Ahmad, please.
Right. So I was going to suggest that when we perhaps also change the language slightly leading into this list, which says instead of saying as defined in RFCs, we say as defined in standard track RFCs 59, 50, 92, 93. Could that work?
That could work. Anyone against it? Yes. We'll do that. Thank you so much. Now my question on must in next section. Is that fine for, as English? You have must there? If it is, I feel unsure.
So this is Sarmad. One thing we could do is we can move the no as a not after the must. So say court points permitted in IDNA 2003, but disallowed in 2008 must not be accepted for registration.
Thank you very much. That's a really good solution. We'll do that. It doesn't change anything of the meaning, but it makes the must clearer to me. Okay. And then I think that you have marked a lot of musts here. And I think that when we come down to number five, it should be a will. It's changed here. Right. And
so these were suggested by Dennis, and so we can keep. So these changes were something we should then finalize. Are you all okay with all the wills here?
I'm fine. Dennis is fine. And Satish? Satish is fine.
Okay.
Then I noticed one thing in number seven. I'm not sure that we should do any changes, but as number B writes there, registers with existing legacy IBM tables already present, etc. They can keep on that. But that means that they could keep on forever. There's really no pressure on anyone to change to LGR, because then it must be a new registry that takes on the TLDs, and that will not happen very often. Most of the ones have already established their legacy tables. So, yeah, that's the situation. I don't think there's much we can do about it, I guess. Okay, let's continue. LGR table.
So this point, C is a repetition of number 6. One option is to take the C out and sort of put that as part of number 6. Add WLE rules and make that part of 6, and we can take 6 out. Sorry, 6 out. Other option is you just leave it here and keep it redundant and then fix it after the public comment.
My suggestion is that we keep it as this and see if anyone reads the document and comments that, and fix it after the public comment. Okay. Are there any questions about the other masks here?
Before we go there, I made a couple of changes from LGR to IDN tables. Is that okay with everybody here and also in the previous recommendation? So the idea was that when we're talking about tables in generally, we're really talking about IDN tables. And when we're really talking
right.
about format, we're talking about LGRs.
And that was what we talked about last time, and that's fine. The headline 2.4, user acceptance. And comment is, user acceptance does not match the recommendation well.
Right, so there's no, you know, the recommendation is not really about user acceptance. This was an arbitrary heading, you know, I put in some time back. Said that we'll discuss this. We moved the recommendation around, and now it is under the topic, if we take out user acceptance, it comes under the topic consistency of IDN tables and practices. And I think my comment was that this reasonably fits into that topic 2.3, so we can really remove user acceptance because that doesn't match the recommendation, and just keep it in consistency of IDN table and practices, because this publishing, sharing information also promotes consistency of practice.
Dennis and Satish, what do you think? Anyone can remove from here? Okay, we do as you suggest, Salman. And then we have variant. There's a comment here. I don't think the other week is this. Okay, we haven't defined registrant. I don't think that we should do that either. It's an established term, and we have to accept that it's not always well defined, depending on the TLD and the practice. Salman, please.
Right. So I think what Dennis is saying is that at least we should have a understanding among ourselves, even though we don't spell out what it is. So, for example, one possibility which could be used is ROID, but you know, there are implementations which don't use it, so there could certainly be different definitions. But as you say, Max, that it's a reasonably well-accepted term. So I think at this level, it may still be, you know, still good enough. But not sure what others think.
If I understand correctly, most of the time they the variants are attached to the same registration, and then it will be clear what the registrant is. Dennis, please.
Thank you, Matt. Yes, thank you. I'm okay with Matt's suggestion. I think you tried to suggest that it's going to be up to the TLD, the registry, to define who the registrant is. But I just wanted to have this conversation among us so that we have a response if somebody asks the question, right? And like you pointed out, if the implementation is where you have a domain name and all the variants are children, if you will, of this domain. And it is clear that all these variants belong to the same registrant. But if registries choose to do individual and distinct activation of domain names and they relate them as a bundle, then who the registrant is, right? It's a different abstract concept as to who this registrant is. But I think I'm fine with us understanding it's going to be up to the TLD registry to define who the registrant is and then abide to the guideline where all variants go to the same registrant.
And I mean, one problem is that if we're trying to define it, we'll have problem if different TLDs have different contact IDs, etc., for the registration. I mean, if
correct,
we talk
yes.
about we talk about the general, the generic, the TLDs, they are enforced by ICANN to have the same structure, but we have a lot of CISA TLDs that do as they please, and it might be that they don't even have a different contact ID for the registration. It's just that the registration of a domain with the contact information in. So, yeah, I think it's good that Dennis, that you lifted it up so that we aware of the complexity. I think we can move on to 2.5, where it's been changed from commingling of cross-grid points in a single IDN table to single label, and I think that's a very good change, because the problem is not the IDN table, but the label. I see nothing there special. Move down to limitations of IDN tables and policies. Ambiguous is what we should clearly define. Again, the problem here is not if it's those characters or code points are mixed in a single set. The problem is that they can exist in labels to create the confusion. But I'm not sure how this should be changed. I'm not sure that the extra to minimize confusion is good enough.
So I suggested another addition in the chat, just to add a label in addition.
To minimize confusion in a label or between labels.
Okay.
Because it it is very much about confusion between labels. To make sure that you don't think that you are writing one label when you're writing another. Or that you're seeing one label when you think you're seeing another.
So should we then say to minimize confusion between labels allocated to different registrants, or, you know, we really want to talk about labels which are not variants?
Yes, right. I think that your suggestion was good. To minimize confusion between labels registered different registrants. Yes.
Or probably labels which are not variants because there could actually be two non-variant labels registered to the same registrant. So it's not really the registrant which is the issue. The issue is that there are two distinct labels, whoever is registering for it, their confusion really needs to be managed. So we
start to make the text quite complex. So maybe it's enough to say to minimize confusion between labels.
Okay.
Dennis and Satish?
My initial reaction is that maybe it will not be clear to the reader, because labels is just, right, it's a label between the dots. So I think what you're trying to say is that you want to minimize confusion between domain names, not just labels.
I do. Correct. So maybe domain names is a better term here, because then we include the TLD too, the TLD part too. If we change to minimize confusion between domain names.
All right, noted. So we'll do that.
Thank you. Okay, let's move down. Do we have anything here?
So I've added a lot of definitions from different sources. I just wanted to make sure that you guys are okay with these. I've tried to give references. I've actually given references to all the definitions which I've extracted, so that there's nothing which is really being developed by us directly, except in some very few cases. So I guess that's where we are. So it's not really new material. Most of it is just collating materials from other sources. But again, at the end, there are some definitions left which still need to be spelled out. So we need to work on that.
Okay. Which definitions do you want us to especially look at?
At the very end, there are three things which we need to look
at. Right. That has no definition at all. We use the term whole script confusable.
Right. So anyway. I went back to the Unicode document which is using it to see if we can get a definition, but the Unicode document is using this, but it's not really defining it. It's sort of giving examples. So I couldn't extract a part of a text which could really define this from that text.
Whole script could be involved. So we use it somewhere.
Use it in, I think, 2.
I don't find it.
Let me scroll up and I'll show it to you. It's
I was searching
in the variants. Okay. So if you, so it's in this number 16. If you look at the second line.
I find it. It was a dash there that you didn't have the, in the bottom. That's why I didn't find it.
So one option is to just take it out of the definitions list, because here we are very clearly saying that the whole script confuses builds as determined by the Unicode technical report. So anybody who wants to look at what whole script confusables are has a very direct pointer to UTR, 39. So they can go there and find out.
I'm sorry, I don't understand it myself. So, I have to go to the
So this, it's basically, scope versus scope, scope Latin and scope, Cyrillic example.
Yes.
Where you, the whole label in one script is same visually as the whole label in another script.
The whole script, confusable. Isn't it whole label confusables?
No. So the Unicode term is whole script confusables for these kind of examples, scope versus scope. So we're using the Unicode technical report terminology here.
Okay. But it means the same. I mean, it's a whole world, whole word confusable, or whole.
Right. Label
the main name.
Right. So in practice, it is a whole label confusable.
So whole label would be in simpler.
Right. But then we'll deviate from the terminology used by Unicode.
Okay. I think that this. We can work on this after the comment. I think that we will get, it's a high risk that we get reaction on this, that this is unclear what we mean. I think. Okay, so I think we remove the term in the bottom. We don't define it, we just refer to what Unicode. We use the same meaning. Do we have to define domain name and internationalized domain name?
Or we don't have to.
Domain name label. Especially, I don't think we should try to define domain name here.
How about just label, which is the first one in that list?
Yeah. A label, part of domain name separated by dots. What about that? Part of domain name April rate is 5 dots. And would that work? For label. An IDN label.
So I think we can probably skip IDN label and the rest, because IDN label we don't use. And then domain name is, I guess, more universal, so we don't need to go and define it, and whole script we said we won't. So if you just define label, I think that really should be sufficient, and we can close it. If there is need, I guess we can always add more. But IDN label we've not used in the document, so I think we can take that out.
If we use IDN variant label,
we do use variant labels. Yeah.
Yeah. So indirectly, we use IDN label. And actually, in the definition of primary IDN label or secondary IDN variant label, we use the term primary IDN label. And in primary IDN label, we use the term an IDN label.
So I can go back to 58, IDNA 2008 standard and try to get the definition, but I actually did go there, and they normally define A label and U label, but there's no really definition of a IDN label by itself.
Right. Yeah, please do that.
So then should I replace IDN label with the A label and a U label? But those are really reasonably well-defined terms. Do we need to use those in our glossary, because we're not using them in our document?
Yeah, but
that's a challenge.
Well, the problem is that if a U label and I and A label are kind of facets of the IDN label.
Right. But the IDNA 2008 standard doesn't really define IDN label by itself. That's the issue.
Then we could define IDN label as IDN label equals A label or U label.
Yeah, but those are like forms of an IDN label, really, not really a definition, right?
Right. Right. So, but if you know the definition of an A label and the definition of a U label, you see that an IDN label is either of the two. I agree that it's kind of a strange definition. And I think it's strange to refer to A label and U label in the previous two definitions. When we define IDN variant label to talk about A label or U label.
Right. So I think probably a more generic definition could be something which is saying that a label which is valid as per IDNA 2008 standard. But that's also sort of a not normative kind of definition, that's a challenge.
I think that would be fine. I think your suggestion is fine. If people react on that, then we can try to work on the definition. But that is really what it is.
I wrote something in the chat box. Is that what you would want to take forward? For
yes.
IDN label?
IDN label, yes. And then the main name and whole script computer small we remove. Are there any others? Dennis and Satish agree. Thank you.
So I've put in LGR and IDN table as synonymous to each other. I hope that is okay.
But then we have a problem because we want to refer to IDN tables as a more generic term than LGR table.
Then should we put that in the additional notes column rather than a definition column? Because they're essentially the same.
Well, we have the legacy IDN table too. What do you mean by the essentially same? It means they contain the same information in a broad sense, yes.
Because at the end of the day, they're really label generation rules. Talking specifically about RFC, I'm talking generically about what an LGR is.
Yes. But the traditional IDN tables are not generating the rules for the main names.
I'm going to scroll up to scroll down to LGRs, see what we have there. So just looking at this, do you think this is okay as far as IDN tables is also concerned? There is some part at the end of this LGR definition which goes into that. In deploying internationalized domain names, they have also been known as IDN tables. So the RFC already says that LGRs and IDN tables are the same. So I guess that's why I'm saying it. And then in the additional column, I've also noted that additional formats include those specified in RFC 3743 and 4290.
I think that, Dan, when we talk about the IDN tables, we should refer to the formats defined in RFC 7940, 37, 43, and 4290.
Because so should I repeat that information in that cell as well?
Repeat that for the definition of IDN tables. So,
okay.
It could be... it will have a... Well, yes, as defined in those three RFCs, those are the IDN tables that we refer to.
Okay, so again, I will repeat the additional notes format specification in the IDN tables row as well.
Well, remove that it's the same thing as synonymous to LGR. No, it's as defined in any of these three RFCs. And not an additional note in the definition. The definition of IDN table is that it's any of the three.
Right, but, you know, these three are really the formats, right? Or do they also go into what a definition of an IDN table is?
I'm sorry. The three RFCs?
Right, the three RFCs. So in the definition column, we really need to, I think, define what the RFC, you know, what the IDN table is, rather than,
okay.
I guess, refer to an RFC. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Specification of permitted code point and combination of those in domain name labels for a specific CMD. Maybe remove the for a specific TLD. Just specification of permitted code points and combination of those in domain name labels. As a definition. What do you say, Dennis? Dennis, are you online?
Yes, I'm online.
What do you say?
I'm sorry, where are we? That's my son.
Yes, we're trying to define IDM table. And I have in the chat box, I have tried to make a definition, which is not to make the same thing as an LDR.
Mm-hmm.
And so specification of permitted code points and combination of those in domain name labels. Period. Removing the for a specific TLD. Specification of permitted code points and combination of those in domain name labels.
Right. So in general, IDN tables, what they define is the two things, right? Everything depends on your point of view. So it's one is the code point repertoire, and you're saying the permitted code points and the combinations, which is covers the code point repertoire. Okay.
Yeah. The LDR does cover that. The other legacy table, yes, the legacy tables don't have any room for anything but the repertoire and the variants.
And they do. It's a text file, right? So they can, and some registries and some IDN tables in the old format contain. Well, the code point repertoire, for sure. If they manage variants, they will have what the variants are, or if they are doing some mapping, they will do. If there are contextual rules, they will define what contextual rules are there. So I would contend, yes, the old format did address all three elements, all elements about what IDN table should have, so the code point repertoire and the rules to define a, or the rules to define a valid label for the TLD.
So if we, do you think the text could be, as I've written it, without for a specific TLD, just specification of the code points and combination of those in domain name labels, period.
Well, but, I mean, you can deny that the IDN table exists for a TLD. So I'm fine with that. You don't need to remove it. Because IDN tables per se don't exist outside the TLD.
what I mean, they could exist for lower level too. So to be more general, it doesn't have to be a T and D.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So yes, for if you want to, okay. So yeah, in that context, yes, you are correct. I mean, yeah, you can have a table for a third level zone.
Yes.
So yes. Okay. So we will assume the reader understands that the item table exists within a zone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we'll take that, Sarmad. And then in the next column of additional notes, we refer to the RFCs. Sarmad?
So I think we are done with this.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I will. I'm planning to now post do a revised version. And
yep.
Do you want me to? You know, this has to go out public comment tomorrow. So I'll share the updated version. You know, within the next couple of hours with everybody.
Yeah.
And then take that to public comment tomorrow. Would that work?
That will work. We do that. Dennis, do you have time to look at what Sarmad sent out and just acknowledge that?
Yes. Yeah, he's doing it in the next hours. Yes, I'll have all day today to review and send my feedback.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, Sarmad.
So one last piece of business is Dennis made a comment on one of the phrases used in the presentation. So he's suggesting that we revert back to the original text, which said that this is to minimize cyber squatting and user confusability or something like that. The exact text is obviously in the email. So since we actually discussed that and changed, I wanted to check with all of you that I'm happy to go, you know, revert to the original version if that's okay with everybody else.
I think it's fine. We'll take a suggestion from Dennis.
And final piece of business. Dennis, go ahead.
No, sorry. I just wanted to expand a little bit on my rationale. It's that the phrase "end users' concerns" is so broad that, I mean, people might think, oh, you're not addressing universal stance, or you're not addressing other types of end user concerns as far as IDN. So I think we stay safe with, you know, terms or definition that we used in the past, and so there is no controversy.
Okay, and next meeting will be in Copenhagen.
Right. So we have two presentations. I wanted to check how are we going to do this. I normally put a name on each presentation of the person who's presenting it. So there's a 5-minute update or 7-minute update, and then there's a longer 1 hour 15 minute session. So should I just put a generic IDN guidelines working group instead of a name on both presentations, and then Matt's and everybody who's there, Edmund, and, you know, not sure Dennis, if you're probably there as well, that we need to figure out who's going to present when, so that there is clarity and the relevant person can prepare accordingly.
I'm fine with if you want to put my names there on both, or we could do it as you suggest. I'm fine with both.
Okay.
And we could always change name if we want in the final when we are there.
Right. So these get published on the Icon schedule. I'll put your name as you suggest, and I just then finalize this. Is that okay?
Because if you say that usually we put names, it looks better if we do have a name there.
Sure, certainly.
Okay, so did you send out the times for the slots?
Not yet. I will send that out once I send out the final version. I'll also send out the time slots. I might have actually already, but in any case, I'll send them out again. Sunday morning, and the other one is on Wednesday afternoon.
Okay. Yes, I haven't seen it.
I'll make sure I'll send that out today.
Thank you. Okay, then I think we'll close off for today, and see you in Copenhagen. Will you be there, Dennis?
No, unfortunately, no. I won't be there. I won't be there in person, but I will be there listening and participating remotely.
Okay, so virtually see you in Copenhagen then.
Yes.
So, okay. Thank you very much for today. Thank you very much, Samad. And
thank you.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.